Nice. So if you have your Bible, you want to read with me the book of Revelation, chapter 2. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse number 18. You there, say amen. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works in the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach, and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your work. But I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already. Hold fast till I come. I marveled tonight at the singing. Brother Bobby and Sister Rhonda sang to us that they're not going to turn back. They're just going to hold right on. Then the girls got up and said, I'm going to hold on. And knowing what I was felt like to preach tonight, I want to preach from verse 25. Look at that again with me. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And if the Lord will help me tonight and the Holy Ghost will help me preach, I want to preach a bulldog grip. I never have had a bulldog. I did have a dog years ago. Brother Hank will well remember my dog. I was working at Lone Star years ago, and a girl was giving away. She told me that Thursday that she had a Basset Hound puppy to give away, several of them. And I met her at the old Kmart parking lot that Friday morning. Never forget it. I got out and looked over in the box, and there's a bunch of little solid black dogs with their tails curled over their back. I'm looking for the floppy-eared Basset, and I don't see any in the box. I probably should have left there without a dog, but I come right home with one. And it didn't take me very long to realize that I had a dog with a very bad temper. He had a temper as a puppy, and he never did lose his fight. Midnight, we'd had him for years, and in fact, he got sick in 2000. And I took him to the vet, and they said he's not going to live. He's got a kidney disease, and it costs more to try to heal him, and it'd just be worse. And if you don't mind, I fought back the tears, and they said you can go back there and say goodbye to your dog. And Brother Hank, I went back there. They had him laid on that table. They removed the collar from around his neck. It's about all I could do to stand there. And then he growled at me. And I said, he's still got that fight in him. Amen. But as I begin to think of this text tonight, but hold that fast which you have. Amen. Just hold on to it. You see, there is a necessity that we need in the Christian walk with God, and that is the need to just hold on. Amen. It's a tug of war, if you would. Anybody feel that way at times? I feel that way every day. And Jesus is coming here in the book of the Revelation. He's going to deal with the churches seemingly at the end of time. He is going to deal with all seven of the churches. I'm not going to have time tonight to preach about all seven, but I'm going to try to work in as many as I can. And there are some things that I want to talk to you about tonight, and I want you to keep in mind of just the grip that I have found that the bulldog possessed. The bulldog was a mean little dog, but if he ever gets his jaws locked on his prey, he stays right there with it. Nothing, amen, is going to cause him to turn loose. Amen, nothing at times short of death. I'd like to have that grip tonight on the religion that God has been so good to put into my life. Can you say amen? I want you to look with me again right here, and I'm going to try to preach, first of all, that Christ commends the church. And as I said, I'm not going to have time to read all of them, but look at the first church. Revelation 2 and verse 1. Under the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, And he says, I know thy work and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and is born, and hast patience for my name's sake, and has labored, and has not fainted. All that sounds good there. Amen. And so I read, first of all, here, church, that Christ comes and commends the church. And I think it's well, amen, if there's anybody that I'd rather have on my side in commending my good works, it's nobody other than the Lord Himself. Because, you see, He knows everything about me. Amen. The Lord knows, the Bible said, He knoweth my frame. Even the very hairs of my head, He has numbered them, and He knows me. But I find in nearly every church, amen, that He commends every church. He has some things yet to say to them, but He begins by just telling them what good they have done. And you see, we serve a God that sees the good, yet all the while we serve a God that sees the bad. Amen? His eyes are going to and fro throughout the land. They behold the good, and they also behold the evil. Amen? But Christ comes to talk to the church, and when He gets face to face with His own elect, Brother Darrell, He commends them. He says, you're doing good. And as I walk the church today, here this evening, I come down early to pray, and amen, wanted to try to make sure I had the mind of God. And when I saw how far our church has come in just the 20 years that I've been a member of this church, I say thank God. Amen. Oh, yes. I was thankful back in 1985 for a church that sat here. Amen. I was thankful for the lights that hung over in behind the paneling, and you couldn't hardly see your Bible. Is that right? You remember that with me? Amen. I was thankful for the old shag carpet that we had. I was thankful for the old sign. I was just thankful for it all. But, brother, aren't you glad that God's been good to us right here? Amen. I believe that He's got His hand on the house of prayer. I believe that He's had His hand continually on us. And He comes with His sweet spirit at times and commends us for the good that we've done. Amen. I want to say tonight, amen, I'm glad for the good that the Lord has allowed us to do. It's nothing in us, but it's all in Christ. Amen. And I found it in the New Testament church. He came and commended them. He told them, I want you to get a grip on that you already have. You see, amen, we get this one step at a time. There may have been some that you may know that felt like they got it all overnight, but I'll be honest with you tonight, friend. It took me a while to even get what I had tonight. Amen, and I do believe there's yet more that I need to try to attain, but I want to be like the New Testament church and hold that fast which you already have. Amen. You see, there are times in our walk with God, amen, those things that we possess, we need to just put a scotch right there and hold on to them till the next time we gather in God's house. Is this all right tonight? Amen. You see, that bulldog has what I saw, a tenacious grip. It's a grip that's instinct in him. Amen. They do not have to teach. I did not have to teach that dog of mine to be mean. Brother Anthony and Brother Hank always accused me of feeding the dog raw meat. I did not do it. He just had a temper. He was born with it, and he continued with it. Now, brethren, it is against God's law for you and I to hold a temper. As bad as I have to say that, I have to say it. Amen. It's just against the Bible to throw a fit. Everybody all right tonight so far? Man. But he tells his church, I read to you, and I wanted to talk about the Thyatira church. He had some good things to say about that church. I want to commend you tonight. When I go across the country and talk to people about my church, I met a guy in Bond, Kentucky. He sat down beside me. I did not know him. I'd never seen him. I don't even recall his name. But he said, you go to that house of prayer in Texarkana? I said, yes, sir. He said, man, he said, I remember back years and years and years ago, way before my time, he said, that was one of the most worshiping churches that I'd ever been to. I said, you know, sir, it's still that same way today. Oh, yeah, we still run. Y'all been running since I've been gone this last little while. I said, if it just a little bit of spark happens, why, folks go to running in every direction. He said, what about Sister Loreen Askew? He said, has she gone on? I said, oh, no. No, she's still much alive and well. He said, is she still preaching the gospel? I said, yes, sir. Sister Loreen is still preaching the gospel. He said, you know, brother, he said, really, and I wish I could call his name to you, sister, but I can't remember. He's from North Carolina, if that helps you at all. But he said, you know, a lot of us preachers back in that day, we all felt like Sister Loreen was one of the better preachers. And I said, you know what, sir? I feel that way about it tonight. You know, it's good when God commends you. Oh, he don't commend you, amen, to give you the big head, but I like to know what I'm doing good myself, don't you? I like for the Lord to come and let us know that we're doing all right and that we're right in the middle of where He wants us to be. I'm glad that Christ, first of all, came to this church in Revelation chapter 2 and commended them. He said, I know your works. I know your labor. I know you've had patience. I'm glad tonight that I serve a God that keeps good records. Did you know God never forgets? He remembered the times when you came when you didn't feel like coming. God remembers the times, amen, when you got in, when you didn't really feel like getting in. I'm glad that God has a big book and a big pen, and He writes it all down, that one day He can open the book and show it back to us, amen. I'm glad that God keeps good records. He remembers every revival. He remembers every offering when you turned your billfold inside out. Amen. Yes, sir, God keeps good records. And in this New Testament church, He simply tells them, just hold that fast that you already have until I come. I'm not sure what Brother Anthony preached about the other night, but it sounded like he told you that the Lord's coming. And I want to tell you, hold on, weary traveler. The Lord is soon to come. Amen. I see more getting out, it seemed like. But I want to talk to you tonight about just holding on. Just getting that old tenacious bulldog grip about it and staying right there with it. Amen. Not only do I want to preach to us tonight about Christ commending the church, and I'm glad that He does. You see, that church at Smyrna, that second church was the most commended church of all of them. He does not even, amen, have anything bad to say. He said, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they're Jews and are not. Amen. Verse 10, for none of these things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto the end, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Amen. He is just simply telling this church, you're doing pretty good. Amen. Just keep the work up that you're doing. I still believe that the Lord would like to give the house of prayer at 519 Graham another harvest of souls. Amen. I believe that before the Lord comes, Brother Darrell, that there's going to come a shaking around here where God begins to deal with our lost loved ones. And if our lost loved ones came in, that'd be enough to rebuild another church, wouldn't it, tonight? And I'm expecting the Lord to come and give the house of prayer revival like we've never seen before. Now, I remember a revival. It was maybe the second or third big revival with the Yates. It was that revival that I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You see, it does not have to be. You don't have to have a big name. You don't have to have a big truck or a big trailer. All you got to have revival is the Spirit of God. Did you know it? That's all it takes. Amen. I don't know that Brother Yates preached any nights at Bristow. I can't tell you. But I know we had a great move of God back in the late 80s. But you see what happened? Do you remember what happened? It was because we came expecting, and the ladies found their place in the prayer closet, and the men found their place in the prayer room. It was in that old back Sunday school room, Brother Marty, that you used to teach us so well, that God came in the place that night, Brother Bobby, and shook it to the ground. It was in that room back there that night, Brother Butch. You was there. I remember you jumping up and down. Oh, yes, I do. Amen. I remember when the power of God hit the prayer room and the men shouted and shouted and shouted. Hey, I'd like to tell us tonight, just hold that fast that you have already. Amen. Until God gives you some more. You see, I need another Holy Ghost outpouring. Is there anybody tonight that could use another good dose of the Holy Ghost? Oh, I'd like to. I'd like to see the Lord shake the tabernacle. I'd like to see every young person in this house tonight be filled overflowing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it happens because Christ commended the church. But not only does Christ commend the church, not only does He commend this New Testament church, amen, I'm going to skip over a couple of those, but not only does He commend it, but Christ critiques the church. And when I thought about that a few days ago, there is nobody more qualified to critique the church than Jesus Christ Himself. You see, the book of Ephesians says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. So there's no one more qualified, Brother Terry Crabtree, to critique you and me than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And He critiques every one of these churches. And you may want to go back later and look through it. But He critiques them all. It's an individual assessment. You see, the fact of the matter is, I am not going to be held accountable for Brother Darrell Littleton. Amen. And neither is Brother Darrell going to be held accountable for me. But when I get to God's glory world, I'm going to be held accountable for every sermon, every idle deed, every idle word. You see, I already talked to you. God keeps good records. Amen. And he's coming now to critique the church. The Lord of the lampstand has made his appearance. The Christ of the candlestick shows up and he says, yes, you're doing pretty good. Amen. You built a wonderful building. I'm not against new buildings. No, sir. I'm not against heat and air. I'm a little bit against heat right now, but I'm not always that way. Amen. I'm not against carpet. I'm not against padded pews. I'm not against sound rooms and tapes and CDs. No, no, no. But you see, there's something that has to take place. Not only does Christ, Brother Hank, at times have to come, brother, and commend you and me, but there are times when Christ has to come with his omnipresent and omniscient power and critique us and tell us exactly who we are and exactly where we are in him. And he tells the church, first of all, he says, now I know your works and your labor and your patience and all that you're doing so good. But then he says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. Now, it's those few things against us that rub the fur the wrong way. But you see, we need Christ to come and deal with us many times in the altar to tell us exactly who we are. You see, we spend a lot of our time critiquing one another. It's on, ain't it, brother? You see, we do that a lot of times. Amen. Oh, you know it's the truth tonight. Somebody shout amen and I'll move right on. You see, we spend a lot of time, amen, backbiting and critiquing each other. And really, we get out of place when we do that. But you see, the Lord is never out of place. And he comes to deal with the church. He comes to critique them. He comes to tell them exactly what they're doing and exactly where they are. It's an individual assessment, friend. God comes and applauds the church. But not only does he applaud this church, he admonishes the church. He warns them and, amen, wants them to understand that he knows everything about them. And we have to be in the spiritual place we can handle such critiquing. I did not say Christ comes and criticizes. Amen. Follow with me tonight. I did not say that. Amen. I said he comes to critique. You see, it's constructive criticism that we all need at times. I talked to a friend the other day. He let me know that he was evangelizing and yet pastoring at the same time. Friend, that don't work. Amen. I'm glad that the Lord let me be. Brother Anthony Howard, I wish that knothead was here. I'm going to get him the weekend. He's telling everybody that I'm the oldest evangelist on the field. Amen. Well, that's really not the case. Amen. But you see, it's not criticism. The Lord does not criticize you. He simply wants to meet you at an altar of prayer and make you a better servant for him. And the only way he can do that, Sister Casey, is tell you and me exactly who we are. Amen. He tells them, notwithstanding, I've got just a few things against you. But you've got to be able to handle it. This is a crude illustration, but it's a fact nonetheless. I met Brother Bobby in the dentist yesterday. I had some problems while I was gone, and I needed some teeth fixed. And I went over this morning, and I was 18 years old before I ever saw a dentist the first time. Y'all don't quit me now. I'm just going to preach to you. But we just didn't do it. We didn't go to doctors. We didn't go to dentists. It wasn't, we didn't believe in them. It just cost money. Man. And I met this particular dentist probably before Lisa and I married. I don't remember. It's been many, many years ago now. And when I first went to him, Brother Hank, he x-rayed my teeth. And when he pulled the x-ray out and started x-ing all the cavities like he does, you couldn't even see the teeth chart. He said, we've got a lot of work to do here. And I said, well, doctor, I don't really have that good of insurance. And he was a good friend of me years ago. He said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. You just let me fix the teeth and we'll worry about the insurance. So he started putting cavity stuff in everywhere, filling. I mean, he went to fill in one. He don't like to pull them. He likes to keep them. I don't preach to you tonight about being able to handle the criticism. At the end of the day, and I need to hurry, Dr. Bauman said, he said, do you really know how to brush your teeth? I thought, now wait a minute here. Now, I'm probably 20 years old or one. Well, sure, I know how to brush my teeth. I've been doing it maybe not as much as I needed to, but I've been doing it. So he pulls out some plastic teeth, and he puts me to the test. Sister Debbie, he pulls them out. I put them in my hand. He hands me a toothbrush and says, show me how you brush. And I do it just like y'all do. He said, now that right there, he said, hold it. He said, would you mind if I show you properly how to brush your teeth so that you can get good hygiene in there, and you won't have to keep coming back over here as much? Yes, sir. So he takes the teeth. A man that really knows what he's doing. You see, nobody knows more about you than God. He holds the teeth, Brother Clinton, and he says, you take them round and around one at a time. He said, you don't hacksaw them. You just go round and around. And there I was, a grown man. But I let the master that day tell me how to brush my teeth. And the first thing he done this morning, I've not been over there in about a year or so. He said, hey, you're brushing your teeth, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, I can tell that you're doing it just right. He said, looking good. Everything's looking fine. He commended me. But then he said, you know what? You might need to work on these backs a little bit more. I said, yes, sir. I want you to understand, friend, God does not criticize you. We may want to beat up on each other at times, and I wish we didn't do it. But God just comes, brethren, to critique us, to make us better servants for Him. Y'all going to help me preach a little bit tonight? I'm not going to preach all that long, but brother, I want to be able to handle the critiquing. Oh, we like it when God comes and tells us how we're doing so well, and I'm all for that. But I say, God, help me be able to take it when you meet me in the altar, and God, when you kneel me down, and when you tell me just how I'm messing up, everything that I'm not doing right. You see, the Lord knows when we could do better. I said, a place, I'm not going to tell you where. I said, I'm amazed at people that drag in and out of church. And if you drag in and out, don't get mad at me. I'm fixing to leave Saturday, and I won't have to look at you for a spell. But hey, I think we all love God enough to be in church on time. You can take it any way you want to. That's just constructive criticism. Amen. We don't drag in our work, do we? No. No, by and large, we don't. We're 30 minutes early. Men clock in and sit and read the paper. Amen. But we drag in church. Amen. Like we're coming to get teeth pulled or something. I say we ought to be able to get to God's house on time. Too late to get your money back now. But you see, God keeps good records. He writes it down. You see, we can call the pastor and say, Pastor, I'm sorry, we can't make it. I've got a headache and the kids have got homework and come on here tonight. Can I preach a little bit? But you see, in all of that, God is critiquing us. And God wants us to be true with Him and do our best. And only He knows what your best is. I'm not all that sure if we even know. But I know God knows. And I want to do my very best for Him. Y'all going to say amen tonight? I'll preach a little better. I'll preach a little faster. If somebody will say amen. God knows me and He knows what my best is. And I must give Him my best. You see, God knows when we're not praying. Did you know it? God knows, amen, when you've gone all day and not give Him any glory. Amen. God is not only going to critique your walk with Him, but He's going to critique your worship. I thought Brother Darrell said anybody got a testimony, and it amazed me nobody did. But you see, we've got in that mode so long. Now, I got to stay and eat my in-law's dressing. Now, don't y'all get mad at me. We've gotten in that mode so long. Anybody got a testimony? When I tell you, really, God's been good to us. And when I realize that the Lord is going to critique me, Brother Crabtree, He's not going to critique my singing. No, He blesses us to have talent to sing, Sister Lisa, at least that. He blesses us, amen, financially. He's not going to critique my money. God does not care. He blesses us to make good money. Oh, yeah. God is not interested in my suit and my tie. But He's going to come and He demands faithfulness out of our walk with Him. Now, we get that mixed up and we think we just do anything we want to. But I'm preaching tonight about a Christ that came and commended the church. But after commending them and showing them all of their good, He is the Lord of the lampstand. And He wants to explain to them what they could move up and what they could do just a little bit better. And wouldn't you rather God do it now than to do it later? I'm not sure if y'all get this tonight. Amen. I'm going to preach on. It's an individual assessment. Me and the Lord. Amen. When He tells me exactly what I am. You see, nobody knew more than me. Nobody knew more than me that I needed to be out preaching the gospel. Nobody knows that I don't need to be out preaching the gospel because I think I can. No. But really, I fought the will of God for many a year. I wish I hadn't. It is too much shame. But I've sat right in this church year after year after year. When anybody, when any preacher would mention evangelism or doing the will of God, I would sit in my pew, I would hang my head. Brother Lamar Chapman, many years ago, came. Y'all remember the first kids' crusade? On that Sunday night, he stayed and preached to us. And he preached, "You'll never be happy till you go to that place called Yonder." He talked about Abraham. "I'm the ladder going to go yonder. I thought I'd made a clean break from God's will." Nobody had preached about preaching. Nobody said anything about being in the perfect will of God. I was doing good. I was moving on. I was teaching Sunday school. I'm doing the best that I can. But all the while, there was a war going on in me. I knew better. But I just couldn't do better. Amen. I'm trying to preach to you tonight that Christ will come and critique you. When I went to work at GE Rail Car, I was there my first or second night. I joined up with their retirement plan the very day. And I knew how they matched, and I got to adding up one night just with my math and how I could get it all added up. And I counted up one night on the rail car there that if I worked here 20 years at the current interest rates and had it all figured out, hey man, I'd be a millionaire when I retired. And man, that sounded good. I thought, man, I can get that house that we've always wanted. We can drive whatever we want to drive. I can do whatever I want to do with $1 million. And I'm telling you, if the Lord ever dealt with me, Brother Flynn, if I ever felt God hit me right in the chest, I felt the Lord say, "Now what about me?" And I folded my little memo pad up and put it back in my pocket. And I wiped tears, Sister Casey, and I went to work. But I'm glad that God, He had to come and critique me. He had to talk to me. He had to get me right down to where I felt like I was on the bottom. But He wasn't criticizing me. He's wanting to make a preacher out of me. Y'all loving me tonight? I want us to get to the point where we can handle God critiquing us. Where we can get to the place where we can say yes to God and no to this world. And yes to whatever you want, God. And no to everybody else. I want to be that type of preacher. What about you tonight? I want to be the Christian that God can come and deal with me on exactly who I am and exactly what I am. I want to close tonight. Not only does Christ commend that New Testament church, there are times you can read it, nearly every one of them, Christ comes and critiques that church. But last of all, in closing, out of my verse 25, Christ compels the church. Brother, amen. I think we've got one of the best churches in the countryside. I think we've got the best pastor. Everybody feels that way. I don't know of anybody that can preach like Brother Shaft. You just can't match him. He's just a preacher's preacher, they call him, all over the country. We've got the best pastor. We've got the best musicians. We've got the best singers. While you can just, Brother Shaft, he's very fortunate. He can just look across the church and pick a duet or a quartet or a trio or a trio over there. Just get one. Oh, what a blessing it is. I say we've got the best church in the countryside. And brother, not only does Christ commend us, not only does He have to come and critique us, but I'm glad that Christ comes and compels. He gives them good news. He says, "Hold that fast that you have already till I come." Brother, never get your eyes off the prize that the Lord is coming. Amen. I said, never get your eyes off the fact that Jesus Christ is coming. Now, I'm not sure if He's coming in the pre-trib. I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure if He's coming in the mid-trib. I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure if it's post-trib or pan-trib or any kind of trib at all. But one thing I know for certain, that the Lord is coming back again. And when He comes, He says, "Will I find faith?" And brother, the Lord is coming to get a bride that's made herself ready. And He compels us to hold on. That's what I've already given you. Get a bulldog grip on it, boys. Just get right there and clench it as hard as you can. And hang on to it, because I'm coming. The Bible said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." I'm preaching tonight that the Lord is coming. We ought to hold on. I worked with Brother Randy many years ago. I thought about just driving home the other night, Brother Randy. Amen. I worked with him at that electric company for not all that long. But he had, I don't know how many grips he had. I know he had a Chicago grip. You remember that, Brother Randy? This car. Oh, it was a little heavy thing, but it wasn't all that heavy. It's to pull the little wire with. But when Brother Randy needed to pull the big wire, Brother Randy would say, "Brother, I need a bulldog grip." Is that right? I've got that right, don't I? And I could just about throw that Chicago grip to him, but not that big. And he'd have to come down. He'd have to bring the bucket down. I couldn't throw it that far. He's come down, and I handed over the bucket to him. He got to go back up, amen, and put the big muscle to it and pull them wires together. But you see, that's what we need tonight. We need him to come down. Amen. And then me lock arms with him. How many of you feel that way about it? Brother, amen, this is not a time now to get off. There's exit signs in every direction. But it's a time tonight to just hold on. I thought I heard him saying it. I'm going to hold on. Amen. I said, I'm going to hold on. It's not a time to quit. It's not a time to back. Brother, to get a firm grip on God and get a firm grip on the Holy Ghost. Amen. Get a firm grip on a sanctified life. You see, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take holy, dedicated living. But he compels the church to just hold on. Behold, I come quickly. Revelation 3 and 11. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Amen. How many of you say tonight, Brother Tommy, the Lord has given me? He has given me something. He may not have given me the desires of my heart, Brother Meyer, but he's given me enough to want to hold on to. I said he's given me just enough. I want to go on. What about you tonight? I want to hold on and see what the end is going to be tonight. Amen. Stand with me all over the house. Sister Lisa, come. Get a song. I'm going to finish. I'm closing. For he that cometh to God, Hebrews said, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. To him that overcometh, the book of Revelation talks about to him that overcometh. Amen. I'd like to be an overcomer tonight. Always Brother Shorty was here. Brother Shorty says, we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the Word. I'd like to hold on tonight. No, I've not got it all, Sister Lorraine, but I've got enough tonight, Sister, to hold on. Oh, I've not attained the heights, Brother Crabtree, but God has given me enough that I want to get a firm grip. Randy, I don't know if anybody shakes a hand harder than you. I'd like to get one just like that and stay right with it until the Lord comes. He said, behold, I come quick. Hold that fast. Brother Bush, I'm glad you're doing good. Oh, I'm glad you're doing good. We've been in this a long time. Brother Bush and Brother Anthony befriended me when I came here. Brother Hank, we run the roads together day in and day out. Amen. We've been friends 20 years now, Brother Bush. I'm glad to see you doing good, brother. We ought to just hold on tonight. I'm glad to see all these young people that the Lord has blessed us with. And young people, I want to tell you tonight as a preacher of the gospel, just hold on to that you already have. That no man takes your crown, and if you'll hold on to this, God will give you some more. I look at Brother Bobby, been friends now 20 years. Does it seem that long? It just seemed like yesterday, but we're just getting a little older. Amen, but I tell you what, Brother Hendricks, I want to hold on, don't you? Brother, there's been a lot of exit signs between 1985 and 2005, but I'm glad tonight that I'm still among you. I'm glad tonight that I'm still here. I'm glad tonight I'm still holding on. What about you? Yes, I'm glad tonight that God has given me enough strength to be able to hold on. I want to hold on tonight and just see what will end me. Thank God. It's not a time to get out, but it's a time to get in and get all you can from God and just hold on. Amen. He compels us to just hold on. Hold that fast that you have till I come. I'm going to hold on, play and sing tonight. Let's begin to worship the Lord. I'm done preaching. I'd like you just to get a bulldog grip on tonight and just hold on. Let's worship the Lord. Lift your hands and give the Lord a praise in the house tonight.
Don't walk away.
I'd like to give the Lord a praise. I'd like to hold on.
I want
to
be
found holding on.
Too far to turn back now. Every battle that I have fought will soon be for God, I'm trading this old cross in for a crown.
Oh, well,
I'm not gonna walk away. I've got too much at stake. I've come too far to turn back now. Every battle that I have fought will burn. Before God, I'm trading this old cross in for a crown. I'm not gonna walk away. I've got too much at stake. I've come
too
far to turn back now.